At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey guys, what is up? Happy Monday. We're going to talk about The Other Way tonight. I haven't watched Mama's Boy yet. I don't know if it actually aired yet. We're going to talk about The Other Way tonight. Unfortunately, Kara and Dee Dee are still out. But Gina is back tonight to help us out with the chat. And yeah. What's up, Josh? I'm not thinking about it. You guys weren't on tonight, James and Tata. They were not on tonight. We're going to have to see them and catch up with them next week. Let's get, hey.
Hello. Happy Monday.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm getting sick. I actually think I might have COVID. I didn't take the test yet, but I have the symptoms, and I was like, oh my God. You know why? Because I'm feeling freezing cold all the time. And you know, I'm in Florida, so there's no cold here. So I was like, I'm pretty sure I probably have COVID. I'm going to take the test later and figure
yes.
it out. So,
I love the Mama's Boy is on Discovery Plus right now. So just an FYI for you.
Oh, it's on streaming. Okay, perfect. You know how I need to watch my stuff without commercials. So.
Yes.
Oh, so we're on episode 12 of The Other Way. We're like halfway through the season, basically. And we got... Well, I don't know where I want to start. Well, I kind of want to start with this Dempsey and Statler debacle. We got some of it. Hey, Judy. We got some of it last week, and then we got more of it today. And I wanted to get your opinion on something because it kind of seemed to me that Statler was pretty clear that she needed Dempsey to calm down and give her some space, and she wouldn't do that. And when somebody says, hey, I can't have this type of conversation with you right now, isn't it fair for you to respect that person's wishes and give them the opportunity? Because it was a high anxiety situation for Statler, because, you know, if you were talking to me and I was like, you know, I can't swim, if I was on a boat or if I was in water, it wouldn't be a good headspace for me to have a serious conversation. So I really feel like Dempsey wouldn't let up and wouldn't give her a second, because there are times in life where we just need a moment, and and it's not wrong or mean or rude or nasty, depending on how you do it, to ask for a moment. And I just felt like Dempsey wouldn't give her 2 seconds. You know, she was just like, can I just have like 2 seconds, 15 seconds, 20 seconds, just not have a serious breakup type conversation while I'm at such a high emotional state and level. And it made me feel like Dempsey is a little selfish. Like, she only wants to have a conversation when she wants to have a conversation. And the fight literally made no sense, because she kept saying, well, I want to enjoy life and I want to be happy. Well, guess what? Everybody is not happy every moment of every day, right? Like, we go through ups and downs. Even people that don't have like depression, we still have our moments, you know? So I really felt like she was putting a lot on someone that already had a lot of emotion and a lot of things to handle at that moment.
I think with like Statler told Dempsey, and again, like last week's episode or the week before or whatnot, like, just leave me alone. I just need some headspace. And she kept pushing and pushing and pushing. And I kind of understand maybe Dempsey was there to like kind of distract her from the whole situation, but it's like, you want to distract her by not bringing up conflicts. You want to distract her and be like, hey, let's play a game on our phones or something, like, just to a distraction mechanism, like, let's play this crossword together. So she's not thinking about the situation. But again, it was probably something that was eating inside of Dempsey as well. Like, this conversation needed to be had, but not when Statler's on a boat, having a panic attack, having an anxiety attack. It is not a conversation to be talked about. If you want to calm her down a little bit, there's other means to do so by just doing other things, distracting her from the situation itself, versus prying for the information. Just keeps poking and poking and poking and poking until she's like, Statler lost it and was just like, that's enough. Like, I've had it. Right. So, and I think Dempsey, she just goes, she's just like a wall, like wallflower, just goes with the flow, whatever. So, savvy, right. So,
if somebody asks you to like give them a moment and you see that they're in distress, what is your reaction? Do you give them the moment or do you try to calm them down? Because I think that was
my reaction would be like, okay, I'll give you a moment. Just know that I'm here. Like I'm over here if you want to talk about it. Or if you want to de-stress or like, or do something about it, like, I'm over here, I'm going to leave you alone, right? So I've had to remove myself from situations where I know the words that I'll say will hurt somebody. So right. I've had to physically remove myself from that situation. And because I care about that person, I'm not going to, because of my big fat mouth, I'm not going to talk to them and what I'm thinking, because I just need to cool down as well at the same time.
Yeah, I felt like the situation could have been de-escalated just by respecting boundaries, right? Well, Donna said she would have pushed her off the boat. Well, we wouldn't have done that. We wouldn't have done that. No. But I feel like the situation didn't have to escalate the way it did. And, you know, Statler, one thing that I will say about Statler is she's a straight shooter. She's straightforward. She doesn't always say it in the best way, the kindest way, but she does say exactly what she means and how she feels. She told her, like, hey, stop talking to me, get away from me. Like, it came across as rude, but I don't consider honesty to be rude. Sometimes honesty is just honesty. Like, if you really need someone to remove themselves from the situation and give you some space, I think, and they're not receptive to you asking over and over. I lost count how many times Statler asked her to leave her alone. You know, like, you just have to learn to respect boundaries. You know, I felt like I saw a different side of Dempsey. Remember, I kept saying, I was like, I don't see Dempsey as this evil person who's stealing all her money and tricking her. But I saw a different side tonight, because she ignored completely that Statler was in distress and somehow still made it about her. And when people can do stuff like that, it makes me think of them differently. Because you can ignore that someone is going through a distressful situation and still somehow shift all of the blame and error on them, knowing that you're ignoring and not being accommodating to them. It makes me think, you know, you might have a selfish, self-centered side to you, because it wasn't about her. And they could have had this, Statler said it, we can have this conversation on land. We can literally, because they were going to be in the van for 5 hours, I guess, from that location. They had nothing but time to have a conversation. Why did she feel the need to force it on her in a moment when she told her that that was the last thing that was going to help her?
Yeah. There's two pages to Dempsey's motives, I believe. And I think, I think Cara and Dee Dee had mentioned it too, like, she's portrayed as one thing, but could be something else on the other side of that page. So I think her true colors are coming out. So where it's all about her and her needs and her wants and just in general, right? So if you have like a sensitive bone in your body, you'll know like the person is in distress and don't be like, I'm going to leave you alone. So I'm going to walk away from the situation. I'm not going to push for more information. Come talk to me when you want to talk to me. And just be mature adults about it.
Annoying someone is not the way to get your point across, right? Like, especially someone who's already upset. It's like, I call it poking the bear, right? So the bear is already pissed off. And then you're just like poking and poking and poking. The bear's going to maul you, okay? You're not going to get the reaction you want. So I want to talk about Sarper, because this episode, he decided to get rid of the bottles, the liquor bottles that had meaning of women to him, that he kept in the front room of his apartment, you know, that was something that Shekinah didn't particularly like. So he decided to get rid of the bottles. And I guess the one thing that irritated me, everything about him irritates me, but the one thing that irritated me tonight was he decided to do something when she wasn't receptive to just seeing it his way and not holding him accountable. And I think when you're a narcissist or you're an abuser or whatever, you're closed-minded to changing until you feel like they threaten to leave you. Because the one thing I noticed when he went to therapy, he kept saying like, oh, well, I get really angry and uncontrollably angry if she doesn't love me enough or if I think she'll leave me. And I was like, well, she has the choice to leave you. You know, she has that option that's always there. And I know that narcissist people and abusers, they don't believe that you have the choice to leave. They believe that they have the choice to make you stay. And I feel scared for her. Like, I feel like the situation that Shekinah is in where she's trying to normalize his behavior. Because she's like, oh, well, going to therapy in Turkey is emasculating and it's going to make him seem weak. And I was like, why are you trying to normalize and make excuses for a person who ripped your hair out of your head? You know, like, I really want to believe, because she's like, oh, well, I'm standing my ground and I'm not going back to his apartment. I was like, standing your ground would be getting on a plane and leaving, right? Like, standing your ground would say, hey, you don't have the right to get angry and put your hands on me or rip my hair out of my head or take my phone away. Imagine she's in Turkey, right, with nobody there that she even knows, and he's going to take away her phone. So she has no way to actually communicate with anyone. That's really scary, right? Like, who would she call for help if she doesn't actually have a telephone?
The producers would have to jump in, but we all know how that goes. But you know what the nicknames, everybody knows who, like, what I call them, Beavis and Butthead and Dumb and Dumber. So, like, yeah, bravo for going for therapy and whatnot. But the fact that she couldn't even smash two glass bottles and you go to the gym, like, what is wrong with you? Like, the bottles weigh nothing. Like, what is wrong with you? Why do you, like, why are you a weakling? And just the fact, like, it is a small progress, like, you know, going to therapy is a small progress, but the fact that he told her, like, oh, like, he doesn't have, like, honestly, like, oh, he get, like, what did he say? She said something, like, he gets mad when she has an opinion. That's what it was. And everyone right. should have a free, like, a voice, right? Well, so he gets mad at that.
What irritates me is he blames, everything goes back to her. Everything stemmed from her. He's upset. His actions were justified because she makes me upset, or she doesn't make me feel she loves me enough, or I don't feel like she appreciates me enough. Everything is because she did something to him.
And it's about his act, and it's about him.
Right. And I think people who always, when she met with him the first time last week on the show, and they're sitting at the table, and the first thing he says is, you don't feel sorry for me. And I was like, so see, now I know what we're dealing with, because why would anyone feel sorry? I was like, literally, you're the last person on the planet that I would feel sorry for right now. Like, right now, there's so many people who want to just throw you in a jail for what you did, right? That's where you belong. Mm-hmm. And then mm-hmm. the fact that he thinks that he could sit there and make her feel bad for being upset with him after what he did, it's just scary for me, because there's a lot of women in this exact type situation who decide to take the man back, and then that was the last time they're alive, right? Like, that's the last time that they have the chance to tell the story. And it's just really scary, because men like that don't change. They don't get better. You know, they don't stop their behavior. Their anger issues don't go away. This is not something that's going to get better with time. It's only going to get worse. And then the less you hold them accountable for, and the more you let them get away with it, the worse the situation is going to get. And it's like, but she doesn't want to hear anything from anyone. No. Nobody can tell her that he's wrong. Nobody can even have any type of get through with her. She's just like, oh, well, in his country, you know, it's always a normalization of the behavior. And it's like, if you're not bothered by the behavior, then just say you're not bothered by the behavior and you accept it. It's scary, but you're in control, right? She's the only one who can decide if she's going to be abused or treated the way that she's treated. She's the only person that can make that decision, right? Her own sister won't talk to her anymore because she made that decision.
So she keeps making excuses for this butthead, and it's just annoying. But we already know he's, well, not spilling the beans, but I'm sure a lot of people have seen pictures roaming around that, yeah. But I'm honestly convinced that he has copies of those names and phone numbers at his mom's house. He would. Like, he's a
Oh,
narcissist.
so the destruction of the book. So you think
Yeah.
that there's like another copy
Of
of the book?
course there's another
Really?
copy.
See.
Of course there's another copy, George. What if this doesn't work out? He needs a quick booty call when he goes back to Turkey. Of course. Like, hello?
I mean, it was interesting that he decided to get rid of the book, right? I
He
mean,
would
he
never
claimed.
part with that book. He's been with that book for years. That is his
He
backup.
claimed. He claimed that getting rid of the book was always part of the plan, but he said that about the wine and the liquor bottles too. And I think that he's one of those people who will actually do something when there's no other option, right? Like, you know how people will compromise for the person that they're with? They don't have to ask, they'll just compromise. I feel like he doesn't compromise. He'll do it if there's no other option because he's trying to get her to come back to his apartment.
He's got copies of those names and phone numbers. He's made copies of it. It's at his mom's house. She can't find it. She's not going to go rummaging through his mom's house. He's got copies of it.
I mean, I don't think that you're wrong. I definitely think that he's I don't know the night. I don't want to say anything mean, but like he's such a I don't want to keep saying narcissist, but like there's he has this certain thing about him where he is always going to be the victim and he's always going to be the one that you need to feel sorry for. And I just can't with those people. Okay, you know what? Let's move on. I want to talk about Sean and Joanne because they finally came clean to the kids and Noelle. Actually, Noelle, I actually like a lot. Actually,
I do
so
like her a lot.
Noelle went to the pub with Sean and Joanne and she went and she asked some questions, right? She didn't ask the most important question because my first question would have been, why don't you have a job? She didn't ask, you know, but she did ask right away. She's like, are you a murderer? Like, are you a crazy person? And that's good, you know, to ask, but I have watched Dateline. You know, in a lot of documentaries, and typically they don't tell you unless they're about to murder you, right? So I understand that she was trying to get that out of the way, which, you know, usually when you find out a person is an axe murderer, they're axe murdering you, right? Like that's usually when they find out. They're like, if anybody can keep a secret, it's axe murderers, right? Crazy psycho people like that. But she was asking the right questions, but they decided to tell everyone together, and the kids' reaction was about what I would expect, right? Like when you have a young kid, especially age six, and then there's a 8-year-old girl, a 6-year-old boy, an 18-year-old boy, they were all pretty shocked. But it was more so the betrayal of it, right? Like, because your parent is like the person that you're supposed to be able to trust more than anyone in the whole world, right? Like your parent is that person that, because I think Joey said it perfectly. He was like, she always says to me, you can tell me anything. Don't,
Exactly.
right? And I loved how he used her words against her because I feel like the best way to get through to someone who hurt you is to use their own words. And she's like she says, oh, whatever you're going through, I'll always be there. I'll be there for you. You can come to me. And then for almost 2 full years, she withheld this information from him. And then he was like, congratulations. And the sarcastic congratulations, I think, was the most hurtful thing. Because you could feel that it was through sarcasm and satire, and he was so angry. And I think Sean and Joanne realized then that this was their selfishness, right? And they hurt the people that they love the most with it. And then what really didn't make any sense to me was why didn't they just tell everyone when they got married? What would it have hurt? Like hurting them now or hurting them 2 years earlier, what's the difference if you're gonna hurt everyone, right?
I don't know. Like, honestly, like what her oldest son said is he's got more common sense, and both parents put their own needs before their children's needs. And it really should have been children's needs versus their own needs first. And the fact that, which I don't get, and maybe you'll jump into it, is with the ESTA, he overstayed his visa, but he missed Ireland so much. How do you overstay your visa? I honestly think he was with another MILF and then thought that they were going to get married, and that's how he overstayed the visa by 180 days, over 180 days, and overstayed his visa, and that's why he can't come back to the US for 3 years. Because that's
really
the way the ESTA works. Like, it's between, if you stay over a year, you can't come back for 10 years. For your for the ESTA, it's 2 years from the date that you've applied to, it's valid for, or until your passport expires, whichever one comes first.
Wow. I mean, yeah. I did wonder that, because he overstayed the visa, but he didn't say that he was with Joanne. That was the first thing, because I was like, well, wait, y'all have been together almost 3 years. So if you overstayed the visa, excuse me, that means you were in the U.S. Who were you with, right? Like,
exactly.
Who were you with if you weren't with Joanne? Because if you were with Joanne, she could have introduced you to everyone, right? So, and you made it clear that she's only come to visit you. So what were you doing in the U.S.? And I think you nailed it. I think he was there. And I think that he's a green card digger, like a gold digger, green card. I feel like he's trying to place himself in a situation with a MILF. And I think the MILF situation, you know how some people are attracted to older women? I don't think that's the situation with him. I think he's attracted to women who have their financial situation together. And right, a MILF, a mother who is single in order to be dating, it has her financial situation figured out. And I think that he squats into people's lives that have their financial situation together. He's squatting in his mom's life. He's living in her house still. He's got Joanne, who she still hasn't told us how much money she's sending him, but I'm assuming it's a lot, right? Like, I'm assuming that, because what would be the need to get married and keep it from everyone? Why wouldn't you tell your mom if you love her and she loves you and you plan on being together? Why wouldn't you tell your mother and your daughter? It doesn't make sense to me, unless your mother has seen you with other women locally. So if you were to tell her that you were married to
the mom's in on it too. The mom's in on it. His mom's in on it too, probably. Because why would she be like, okay, take my granddaughter to like go play house for a little bit? The mom's probably in on it too, as long as she's get something out of it.
So you think that this is like a family style scam?
Yeah.
Really? See, I think it's odd that the whole time that they've been there, we haven't interacted with the mom.
Exactly.
This is really strange, because we're meeting the daughter. He's meeting her kids. People are aware. She's told her mom. His mom is still completely out of the picture, which I find really weird, because, you know, if you're married and you're in the same town as your new mother-in-law, it would only be normal. Like, look at Tiger Lily and Adnan. She had only been there a couple of hours. Few hours, she was already meeting his mom. You know, it's pretty normal that you're going to interact with her, and they've been there this whole time, and there's not even a conversation of her meeting his mother, which I think is really weird. This is where he lives. So my first thought was she didn't know, but maybe you're right. Maybe she does know, and she doesn't want to be a part of it, because this is just another number or another woman that he brings over. This is like a normal situation.
Yeah. This is a normal job for him. It's his like nine to five. But the fact, like Joanne said, to the kids, like for the next preview, like, we're going, this is going to be the home front. No, it doesn't work like that, sweetheart, because probably the father of your children have parental rights. It does not work like that.
Well, she also made it seem like the child didn't have a choice.
Like,
I thought the best response, you can't take that.
Like, well, I'm sorry. Like, you can't take one child's life from the U.S. to back into Ireland. It's something new and foreign to them.
Well, a mother's response would be like, what do you think? You know, where do you think we should live? Like, that's what a mother would normally say.
Exactly.
You don't say, oh, well, we will live here. You know, as a mom, you usually don't dictate. I mean, as sometimes you have to tell your kids, like, no and yes. Like, no, you can't eat an entire cake. But, you know, when it comes to, like, living in another country that you've only been to for like 5 minutes, you don't usually say, well, this is where you're gonna live. You at least let the child think that they have a say in it, right? And another thing I was wondering, if you overstay your visa, that's like a strike against you. So what if they were to apply for not a K-1 because they're already married, but a spousal visa, and say his overstaying disqualifies him? Because you know, there's different things that you do that can disqualify you from a visa.
I don't think, because I only researched what was called the ESTA and what was the called another visa, like kind of like for business, pleasure, and travel. So I don't think, because they'll be able to see the history, right? So I don't think that visa, a spousal visa would work. Like, you've already applied for this visa, you overstayed, you're gonna have to wait.
Okay, so but after he waits the 3 years, you don't think it would be an issue when he applies for the spousal?
He'll have another MILF around his wrapped around his finger. It won't be Joanne.
So wait, do you think that it was never an option for him to leave? You think that this was a scam where she sends him money, she goes to visit him, and then he ships her back home?
Yeah.
So she's the only one that's really pushing, we're gonna move here.
Yes.
So you think that that's a pipe dream that he's whispering in her ear?
Yes.
And that keeps money fun. Oh, okay. So that's why the visa situation, he's just bringing it up now, because it's irrelevant.
Yeah.
It's irrelevant. They can't do anything about the visa, and he's not going to want to do anything about the visa.
And he doesn't work in Ireland, so he's not going to work in the U.S., so, you know. And she's not going to have that. She's going to be like, nope. Well,
The only other thing that made me scratch my head was they've been together 3 years, and the ban is for 3 years, and it kind of looked as though it overlapped. Did you catch that? Because I was like, well, if you're banned for 3 years and the ban is still active and you've been together for 3 years, that means that you were in the U.S. while you were talking to Joanne, but you didn't go and visit Joanne. Or is my math off?
No, your math is not off. Basically, he said it was 3 years, but we don't know when this was actually filmed, right? So
right. We don't. Right, but they've been
don't necessarily know the numbers to when it was filmed. But if you overstay your welcome by a year on that visa, it's 10 years. So he could be just saying 3 years to make it sound like, okay, yeah, 3 years.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Right, yeah. Because it doesn't matter. He's never going to use a visa because he's not going to leave. I see. She would need to see paperwork, right? Like, and I think a lot of times people don't ask for proof. It's their own fault, right? It's their own fault for not asking for proof. They hop on a plane on these pipe dreams and think that things are going to work out. And, you know, the fact that he just brought up the visa, obviously she knows something about it, but the fact that he just brought it up on the show was really interesting to me, because they made it seem like if the kids gave their approval right away, they were going to start the visa process. So it's weird now that they got that off the table. They're like, oh yeah, we can't even apply for a visa right now anyway. He's
bad. Because I just think it's going to be with that. I just think it's going to get declined, because he's already has a ban from entering the United States. But again, well, Canadian, I don't know how the U.S. law works.
Look at how many times Michael got denied.
Exactly.
All those types of visas. And still to this day, we don't know. He definitely never came over here and overstayed. And he definitely had never been here before. And they still kept denying him over and over and over. He got denied for the K-1. He got denied for another visa. And so the fact that he came over here and overstayed, I'm wondering if he's probably blacklisted from getting a spousal visa anyway. They're very strict, right, when it comes to strikes and mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, huh, you already did something and you got banned for 3 years. So when you go and run that new visa application, you know damn well your ban is going to show up.
Yep.
And they can see everything. So the person is going to deny it. And he probably knows that, which is crazy. He probably knows that because he's probably tried it already. And these women who think, oh, no, we're going to be together, he's going to come live with me, we're going to start a family, he knows that he's never going anywhere. He's just taking these wire transfers as they come, telling these women whatever they want to hear. And then when the woman finally figures out what he's doing and stops talking to him, he moves on to the next Joanne, right? And he starts the process over. And it's like, can you imagine? This is so complex. It would just be easier to get a job at this point. Like, this is so complex. It's just wild to me what people will go through to avoid taking care of themselves, because for me, this is so complex. And then you have to remember all these different women, and then if the women have children, you got to remember the children and their names and all that. This is so
probably
complex.
Got like a spreadsheet, PDFs going on, like each file folder. So
I mean, yeah. I've watched Love After Lockup, and there was this one lady on there, and she had like a board on her wall of all the inmates she was talking to, their name, their age, what time they could make phone calls. Like, so he probably, you would be surprised what people do to stay organized in their weird little scams, right? Because I think she was talking like four or five inmates at once. And but she had like a board on the wall, and this is probably what he does at his house. That's probably why she's not allowed at his house. There's probably in his room, there's a spreadsheet on the wall with all the different women and a photo, and then little string hanging from the
now
photo.
Now the wheels are turning, George. Now yeah, you see the outside of the cookie cutter box.
What country she's in, how many kids she has, how much money she's good for, how frequently she's good for that money. Like, I guess if you really organize it, it's possible, right? Like, for me, it would just, it would be hard. It would be hard. Like, honestly, I'm not a good liar. So it would be hard for me to keep up with so many different people telling so many different lies because I'm not a good liar. I barely remember the truth. So remembering a lie, it would be a lot of work for me. So Josh and Lily were on tonight, and there was an issue where, so in China, it's customary, traditional, that men initiate intimacy. So women don't initiate intimacy. And we found out tonight that Josh and Lily have not been intimate since he's arrived, which I think is really weird, right? Because remember we were having this conversation about him being a kept man, you know, a boy toy basically. And, you know, that's basically your only job, right? Is to take care of the needs of your wife, your woman. And he's not doing that. And he made some excuses. He said that time difference, he had a cold, he's been tired. How do you feel about these excuses, right?
I think it's just, and I know he goes on your live sometime too. Like, I know he sometimes is present. I don't know if he is now. I think it's basically, I think he's really intimidated by her. Not because she's forceful or anything like that, just because of the fact that she's the breadwinner, right? And his ego drops. Right? Like, I can't do anything. I can't support anything. So his ego probably drops, and like it's not like he's not attracted to her, but it's kind of like the Gino Jasmine situation where Jasmine would always be like on Gino all the time. But in this situation, it's a little bit different because of the fact of, I think it's more of an ego thing, right, with him, right? Like, he's not being the breadwinner. He can't really do anything. Like she's, and I'm not, I don't know what happens behind closed doors in their house that has an elevator, but it could be that she's making him feel, because when they went out to dinner, she's always bringing up the money issue, and like he just can't support that lifestyle, and so it makes someone's like a man's ego go down more, not wanting to be intimate with somebody that they love, right? So
I didn't think of that, but it makes sense because it makes your confidence lower.
Yeah,
like you're a little more confident, and I hate to say it because it's kind of sexist, but when a man knows he can pay for dinner, he can go pick her up in his car, and he can take her out to a concert or to a movie, and he can pay, it makes him a little more confident.
Exactly. He's basically dependent on her for everything and anything.
Right. So yeah, I can see that. And technically she can reject him in many different ways. And for a man, egos for men are much more fragile. So if he did initiate it and she rejected him, he would probably cry. Right? Right? Because men are really fragile. So I can see the lack of confidence because he doesn't feel, you know, because when a man is confident, he shows up, he picks her up, he takes her to a nice dinner, takes her to a nice movie, maybe brings her flowers. You know, he shows the dominant side, like, hey, I can take care of you. And it makes him a little more confident. But when you show up, you know, and she picks you up, basically, she's buying your dinner, she's giving you a place to stay, she's taking you to the show, it does feel a little weird, right? Like, I know we need to cut these boundaries between men and women and the sexism stuff, but it still feels different, you know, when a woman is taking care of a man. It's not natural, especially for men. Men feel emasculated a little bit, but he's got to get over it because there's a 5-year period that he can't work. So he's got to figure out a way to find his confidence because it's clearly not, it doesn't bother her, because if she was disgusted by him, she would have easily said tonight, cool, we're not doing it, I don't want to. But she clearly wants to. It doesn't bother her that he's not able to provide anything. She still wants to feel desired, you know, in the relationship. And I think that they do have really good communication,
they do.
Right? I feel like of all the couples, they communicate well. They tell each other what bothers each other, and then they leave the door open for resolution, like a lot of the other couples. they don't have that communication. And when they do have a conversation, they're yelling at each other, you know, and it's to the point where there's no constructive resolution. There's just two people screaming, like Statler and Dempsey. They don't have any communication. They just scream at each other and get mad, you know. Yeah. And I think in their situation, it's possible for them to make it work. I just don't know how long it will work, because in my opinion, how long is she going to want, you know, someone, and I hate to make it seem like men are devalued based on their income or whatever, but how long is, like, for both of them, is this arrangement going to work? Because even married couples, you know, they both contribute in some way, right? Like, the man might pay the mortgage, but the wife might pay other stuff, or pay car notes, or clean the house, or cook, or help raise the kids and alleviate some stress. Like, I feel like everything is always on her. And I'm like, how long is that really going to last?
Yeah.
You know, like, how long is she going to want to put up with that? 5 years is a long time to commit to saying, oh, you can just sit around the house and I'll take care of everything. That's a long time to commit to that.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Like you mentioned, like, they both have great communication skills, despite there being a slight language barrier. They make it work. And he has, like, she listen, they both listen to each other's feelings and emotions when they express them. So at first, like, Kara, I thought he was a man child, right? Like,
yeah.
And then once he actually moved to China and, like, he started showing another side to him, I'm like, oh, I do like him. I do like him. I don't have any issues with him. So I just think, I don't know, it's a toss up, like, because they haven't really gone in depth with this storyline, right? Well, same with, like, Inkies and Corona. They haven't really gone too deep into both of their storylines. They've focused on the three other couples. So
yeah, right. You're right. We don't know what's going on, because we saw a preview that they had to call off a wedding, and then we saw nothing about it. And yeah, I feel like with Inky and Corona, we literally have only gotten, like, a couple of episodes of them.
Exactly.
Like, it's very strange. You know, when that happens, I wonder how much footage they have. You know, like, did it fall apart early? And, you know, because that's what happened with Debbie and, what was his name? Debbie and Osama. They didn't have a lot of footage, because she got there, she showed his colors really quickly, and she got her stuff and she left. So they didn't have a lot. So I think they introduced her on, like, episode 7 mm-hmm. or 8. And then by episode 10 or 11, the whole story had concluded. What is up, Mark? How are you? Are you back in the U.S., Mark? You've been gone for a minute. But yeah, I feel like they concluded. So it's making me wonder if this situation with Corona and Inky fell apart faster than they thought. And same with Josh and Lily. So there was some stuff going around, because apparently in China, Instagram is banned.
I think TikTok too, from what I've read or heard.
So people are asking a lot of questions, because they said that Josh obviously is very active on Instagram. So they were like, if you're active on Instagram and you're in a country where Instagram is not allowed, you're not in that country. So yeah. That's
and TikTok too.
Yeah. So I was like, huh. That could be. I mean, I know that people use VPNs in order to
yep.
the system.
To so, watch yesterday's episode. Hi. Yep. Don't care.
I'm not convinced that he's back here. I think the one thing that I would be more convinced if someone saw him, right? Because it would be really hard for him to just stay in his house or stay in his basement for months at a time. If he was back, somebody would see him. Remember when Michael got here? And within like 10 days, somebody got a picture of him at a Walmart. You're like, so a lot of people are like, oh, he has to be back here because he goes on Instagram Live. And he's on Instagram, you know, at times where it would be really late in China, but it's like a normal time here. So like mm-hmm. people are reading in between lines. I'm not exactly sure. Hey, Lori, I'm not exactly sure if he's here or not. I want to think that he's not, but I'm not sure. Oh, before we move on, there was a video that TMZ posted.
Oh, God.
Of Big Ed getting engaged. So I wanted to get your reaction on that real quick, because I don't know who the woman is in the video, but the caption said after 24 hours of courting. So I wanted to get your your opinion on that. What the hell is that?
I don't know. I told you in the car, like when you sent it to me, I'm like, oh my God, barf, ew. And then I'm like, why does he look like he woke up in the Philippines with the toupee on his head? He needs to go to Turkey and get hair plugs. Like, honestly, like it looks like that scene when he's in bed and wakes up in the Philippines with Ro like with Rose telling her to brush her teeth. That's how his hair looked.
Oh, it did. It did. Well, Mark said that he sold the video. That's alleged. Mark, how would we know? I mean, it did seem, I don't want to say staged,
Well,
but I gotta.
it does sound like something he would do. It does, like, let's be honest, he would sell it to TMZ to make money because there is no, not God willing, there is no more 90 day for him. 90 day nothing, hopefully. Good God,
And
hopefully. No single life, hopefully, hopefully, hopefully.
after Liz, I feel like this should be a pretty, like, you know how there's all this evidence of who he is in a relationship through this Liz relationship? I would think that there aren't a lot of women that are entertaining him at this point, but I never cease to be amazed how many times there's a woman who's willing to be with a guy who has a really bad reputation. You know, because he's a TV star or a basketball player, or you know, they overlook a lot based on that. Because I still to this day, I'm confused as to why Liz was with Ed. I'm very confused. She seems like there's nothing wrong with her, you know, mentally or physically. She seems like she has common sense. She seems like she has knowledge. And still to this day, I've been trying to put my hand on what was happening, and I still don't understand it. I still don't get it.
I love Liz. Like, she's been on Shibuti's Twitter space. She's an incredible person, makes time for everybody. So I do love Liz. I just think maybe she was just blind and wearing a tinfoil hat. That's the only, and we can only learn from our mistakes. Unfortunately, she
Right?
made it more than once. Sorry,
Yeah.
Liz.
13 times actually. I think they broke up 13 times, but I don't kick people for their mistakes. I like to congratulate them for their progress, and I think that her being in a more healthy relationship with a more stable person who treats her better, I like to congratulate that rather than kick her, you know, for all of the stuff she put herself
Yeah,
through. I don't
no,
want to be the one.
by all means, I'm not. She's like physically fit. She's like working out too, just like Ashley, right? But Liz probably did it the healthy way. But like she's been working out, taking care of herself, and putting herself first, which she never did with Ed.
He
And
didn't
that's
allow
what made her.
he didn't allow he didn't allow her to put herself first. He made her walk away from her job. He made her walk away from her family. I'm just, like you said, I'm happy for her. Oh, so Mark says TMZ pays for this stuff. That is true, Mark. I remember back in the day, I had a video. There's a story. Oh my gosh, I'm aging myself. There's a story of Matthew, can't remember his last name now, but it was a TV star. And he got into an altercation with a bus driver and he punched the bus driver. And I had a video of him right before that. Like I was downtown and he was downtown. And what was it? He was on Lost. Do you remember the show Lost?
I recall Lost, but I can't.
His name was Matthew something. I can't remember now. But anyway, I had a video. Well, I had a picture. We were outside the same hotel. I was outside the Ritz-Carlton. He was outside the Ritz-Carlton, and he was
Oh,
waiting
you
on his
bougie.
car. Huh?
You bougie.
The Ritz? Is that bougie?
More than what I can afford, that's for sure.
Okay. And well, hold on. I'm gonna try to find this dude's
I
name.
was about to find him too. I was just like, hold on. Okay, continue with the story time.
Matthew Fox. Okay, so Matthew Fox. And
Was
we
he
were
been in
outside.
other things too? Or am I?
He was in Party of Five.
Oh, that's where I recognize that name from, Party of Five. Okay.
So
We just
I
both know those
remember
songs.
he came out of the hotel. I came out of the hotel. I was waiting in my car. He was waiting in his car. And I noticed him and we took a picture together. And because I was like, oh, I know who you are. And he's like, okay, cool. So we took a picture. And then, like, less than an hour later, he got arrested for, like, punching this lady bus driver in the face. Well, no, a couple of hours later, and TMZ was like, hey, you have a picture because I posted it on Twitter. And they're like, delete it and we'll pay you like a whole bunch of money for the picture. So I remember that. So you're right, Mark. They absolutely do pay a whole bunch of money. I can't remember like specifically how much it was, but it was more than $500. I remember that. And they were just like, you just delete it. And then we're going to post it. And then they ran like a bunch of stories about it. Because apparently he was drunk and he got on a bus, a party bus, but it wasn't his party bus. It was the wrong party bus. And the driver tried to get him to leave. And then he wouldn't. And then she pushed him and then he punched her. And there was like a whole bunch of stuff. But I just remember like they paid me for the photo. And I thought that that was the weirdest thing, but apparently they do this stuff pretty normal. Yeah. So now that has been said, Ed probably did do that. He probably had the video done, staged it, and then sold it for probably thousands. You know, this is Big Ed, not just, this isn't me, this is Big Ed. Probably thousands of dollars. And that girl is probably just somebody that he gave a couple hundred dollars to be in the video, exactly. Right? Like, cause I can't imagine any woman in her right mind with self-respect and love would want to be engaged to him, right? Like, I don't understand. And again, to each his own, I don't want to tell anybody who to love or whatever, but I just don't see the value in being in a relationship with that guy.
No. Like I said, it's all for clout. He's not getting any money from anywhere. And Mark is right. TMZ pays for this stuff. They pay for everything. So all tabloids do, since God knows how long they've been doing this for. They pay for pictures. They pay for video footage. So he wanted to make a quick buck.
Yeah. And he did. And like you said, if this is the end of the 90-day era for him, this is probably what he's going to be doing now.
Oh, God.
We know
he's going to be more fake and post things on TMZ.
We know that he's not going to get a job, right? We're fully aware that Ed is past that point, right? Like, we've seen a lot of GoFundMes popping up lately. Well, apparently a lot of people are past that point, right? Like, a lot of people are just like, oh no, I need some money. I'm gonna post a GoFundMe and ask everyone.
They think Michael can do it, so they're jumping on that ship, on that bandwagon, thinking everybody else is gonna feel sorry for them and give them money, so.
I mean, it's funny. We were talking about this the other day. This isn't new, because we were going down like the list of GoFundMes and how far back it goes. It goes back years. Mm-hmm. Of the cast members doing it, Michael's is by far the most successful. I mean, I think Devin had one back in the day for her son.
Her son, yeah.
Who had cancer, and that one did really well. But again, the cause, it just made sense, right?
Yeah,
you're going to help anybody. You're going to help a toddler who was unfortunately fighting cancer. Like, it just made sense. So I think that, you know, because we were going through the list of all the different ones, and I was like, well, Michael's was the most successful. But I was like, when people really were asking for genuine help for things, like, for instance, Devin, she really couldn't afford it, right? She was a normal girl who was on a TV show, and then she wasn't on the show anymore. And she, cancer can be hundreds of thousands of dollars to pay for
treatment. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I really respect St. Jude, and I try to give them as much as I can, because when they take the children, they never send the parents a bill. Can you imagine trying to save your child's life and then also worrying about money at the same time? Like, there's only so much stress that you can allow in your body at one time. Right. I can't imagine that.
Well, thankfully, Canada, you know, healthcare. Yay.
Yeah. We don't,
one of the perks.
We don't have, that. We don't have that.
America's a lot more advanced in, because you have to pay for it for medical, like a lot of like studies and everything come out of America. So a lot of people will travel to America and pay that hefty price to get whatever treatment it is.
Really? Yeah. So Canadians will come here and really? Yeah. That says a lot.
Or if the waiting list is too long or what have you, a lot of Canadians will do that. They'll go to find a specialist who can do whatever and do whatever it is, and then they'll pay out of pocket.
Wow. I mean, I remember when I was in Ohio, there was a place called the Cleveland Clinic, and there were people who would travel from everywhere just to go to the Cleveland Clinic. And I was like, oh, this must be a good hospital. And then I talked to a lot of people, and they were like, it's the best. And I was like, really? In Ohio? Why would that be the best? But apparently there were people who would fly all over the world, because there were surgeons and specialists that worked there that you couldn't find anywhere else. Like, if you need a specific specialist,
exactly,
they would be there. And I was like, oh, that's crazy. You would think that there were people all over, but there wasn't. You had to go to them.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to come back maybe tomorrow, I think. I don't know. I'll let you know. Because I Love a Mama's Boy comes on, premieres tonight, which I have not watched yet. So we have to talk about that at some point. So maybe tomorrow, maybe the day after. I'll let everyone know.
Maybe the day after, because if you've got COVID, you're...
Yeah. Right. I don't know. I have to take the test. I had the test, and then I didn't have time to take it. But I feel like I probably do, because, like, right now, I'm really, really cold.
Yeah.
And
you need to a lot of R&R, and you want to be on camera.
Yeah, I do. I feel sick. I probably look sick.
No, I don't look sick, but it'll get there within that time frame.
Yeah, it's because I'm in Florida. I shouldn't feel... Why would I feel cold? That was like my first clue that I was sick. I was like, I turned the air conditioner off, and I was like, I think I'm sick because it's Florida.
I sometimes get sick too during this time of year, but I'm going through like hot, like an air conditioned office to like hot outside or warm outside, and then back in, inside, outside with air on and stuff like that. So, it's just like different trees are blooming here, and like, so it could be like allergies as well. So,
True.
But it's that time of year again.
Yeah. I'm the only person I know that can get sick. It'll be 100 degrees outside and I'll have a cold. I'm the only one. It happens to me.
It's all right, just guys. Because of the immune, but yeah.
All right. Oh, yeah. Donna says Kobe is Team Sarper. Yeah, Kobe has been Team Sarper for like the longest. And
I'm sorry, Kobe. I like you, but no. Not
he and I don't see eye to eye on that whatsoever. And hopefully as the season goes on, he can see, you know, why that is. You know, because Kobe and I agree on a lot of stuff, but just not that. Definitely not that. All right, guys, make sure you're following Gina. I'm tagging her in this video. Kara's under the weather, so say a little nice prayer for her so she gets better soon. And Didi will be back soon as well. She's going through some family stuff. So as soon as she comes back, I can't wait. And thank you for joining us. Everybody have a wonderful Monday night. Make sure you're following me on all social media platforms at George Massey, georgemassey.com. Here we get your podcast type in the George Massey Show. Everybody have a wonderful night, and we'll talk to you soon.
Good night.
Bye.